The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Please dismiss the kids before you speak and get excited. So if the kids may depart, obviously they have. The person that gave me this note had wisdom because once I'm up here, it's all God and He's in control, amen? And I am excited and they better turn the volume down because I could already hear feedback. What a blessing with dust of men here. Give them another hand, guys. Praise God. What a blessing to have them in our church this morning. Sure, they're traveling all over, and God is using them in a mighty way. As I open up in prayer, he doesn't know this, but I spoke with the bass player a little bit. His name is John, and his knee's kind of pretty swollen, and I just want to pray for him as well, a special prayer for him, amen? So let's open up in prayer before anything. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this great morning here at Remnant Church. Thank you for the great things you're going to do in us this morning by the moving of your Holy Spirit. God, we lift your name on high. Thank you for the dust of men being here this morning. Bless them in their travelings and everywhere they go. Multiply them. Use their voice, hands, and feet and instruments, God. And we lift up John to you, their bass player, God, that you would heal his knee quickly, Father. And you just put that away for him and he could continue this tour glorifying you, at least standing up, God. So thank you for this day and thank you for the great things you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. All right. Stay out of my space. I'm going to speak about something that I like to always nitpick on something all of us go through. I'm looking in the crowd. I'm trying to find the youngest person. Maybe, no, you're too old, Frank. Jerry, no. 12, 13, whatever your age is, all the way to like me in the upper bigger digits. I won't use numbers. But it touches all of our lives, and we've all gone through it, and we all struggle with it. And I called it stay out of my space because I believe we're living in a time that it's very competitive. And the world can be competitive towards our lives. And we got to honor God and put God first all the time in all that we do, amen? It might crush some of your toes for some of the guys because we are competitive. And I'm going to speak a little bit at the level of sports as well at the level of life and at home. Because even at home, we can be competitive, amen? So that's why I called it Stay Out of My Space. And I will be reading out of Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 verse 24 through 26. I brought the New King James Version. I believe on the screen I might have put the NLT version. I like the NLT how it reads, but I brought a different Bible this morning. It reads like this. Luke chapter 22 verse 24 through 26. It says this. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, being Jesus, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Verse 26, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greater among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Amen. How many of you like to just be told what to do? That's what I thought. That's the heart we need to take sometimes in our walk with Christ. You know, it's better to serve than to be served. The King of Glory from His Majesty stepped down from heaven and came as a servant. And that's what we struggle with, and that's what I want to talk about. I call that Stay Out of My Space because I believe there's a spirit of competitiveness just all around the world, attacking people. And this spirit has been around for a while, for a good while. And I'll read a verse before I get into that text, though. Me, myself, as a young boy growing up, 9, 10 years old, I had like 6 special friends. We were just friends all the way from elementary all the way to high school. And we always hung out. We all lived in the same neighborhood. We were all raised poor, lower poverty, call it what you want it. I came from a very poor family, so we always hung out, played sports together. I was thinking about this sermon and how I can put it together. When I was 9 years old, my parents lived by a park just around the corner. So we'd all meet at the park Saturday early in the morning. Remember the program SWAT? Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. We were the SWAT team at 6 in the morning on Saturdays. And what we would do as a team, we'd all get full of mud. We'd go by the drink fountain, make mud, and put it all over our face and jump fences and see who'd get to the fence faster and back. And just all these little things boys did as we hung out, because we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have iPods and we didn't have video. So that we were created. So we were the SWAT team. And we hung out and we were great friends. And that's how I grew up through all our lives. And some of them got into sports. Some of them became very good football players in their teen years. And by the time I hit high school, that competitive spirit grabbed a hold of me. And not a godly one. The competitive spirit of the world got me. The influences got me. The friendships I started turning to got me. And out of those six, one of them turned out pretty bad. And that was me. The rest of them, to date, I know they did good in college. They played college ball. Some work as CEOs. They all moved away. And they're doing great for themselves because they honored God. I can't say they were Christians. They've left years ago. But God still had plans for me. See? I lived a messy life, and that spirit had me. I had to dominate. I had to be stronger than you, faster than you. I had to be able to speak you down. And some of you already know my testimony. I grew up with gangs and violence and just partying, and I just had to outdrink people, and you name it. And it was all the wrong path. But that spirit had a hold on me. And as I studied this, I go, Lord, where did all this start? And of course, you need to go back to God's word. We need to look at what God says. And I found a verse where I believe this competitive spirit might have began, which is in Isaiah 14, 13. It says this, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above you, said to yourself. I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountains of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. A lot of us know who this is. This is a prophetic word through Isaiah of who Satan was, the angel of light, because he was an angel that would come over God's throne and just move and probably move his wings. The Bible says in Ezekiel, he had pipes and timbrels and drums. To me, he was like the worship leader, and he made music and composed. And I believe when he saw all the control he had, competitiveness got into his heart. Pride and ego and control, controlling. He said, you know what? I can do this. They're worshiping because I'm making them worship. So he thought. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to move God out of the way and take over. And that's why God had to move him out. And sometimes, folks, when we get competitive in our lives, things are going to come at us and just tear us up because our competitive spirit is not spiritual. It's of the flesh. We're so concerned about what people think, what they're saying. We got to look beyond that and just love them in Christ. Amen? Because we ain't perfect either. I struggled with the spirit for many years. It had a hold of me. And we live in a world that's competitive also for positions. We know that, especially at work. I was sharing with a good brother here earlier how when I started my job, you guys know that I started in a warehouse. In a hot warehouse, before a year, the Lord moved me immediately into the office because I was giving glory to God, and I wanted to quit. I wanted to leave that job. God had big plans. He said, no, Frank, hang in there. And I did, and I trusted God, and he moved me up because I humbled myself. I was serving. I wasn't after that office position. I had no idea that position existed. I thought I was just shipping and receiving in the warehouse, period. Because that warehouse has a little office, a little room with a little AC, and that's where I was. Okay, this is it, God, thank you. And I really don't like it here, but okay. And the guys would walk in, I load them. Some of the drivers, Frank, you should do better for yourself. No, I'm good here. This is what God has me. I never knew of that position. God already had it. He had placed me there already. I just had to walk in his will. And not be competitive, not be focusing on others and judging them. I just focused on my life with God, caring for my wife while she was still here before she passed, of course, and raising up the two teenagers I had. That was my main goal, my main focus. I didn't try to be competitive. You know, as a young man, I wasn't competitive. I loved my friends. We would encourage each other. Wow, you jumped the fence. How'd you do that? And we learned how to do all these tricks by flying over six-foot fences, which I used later in my later years were not good things. But the Lord saw all those years of that drive Frank had, that passion, and he'll turn it, and he'll use it for his glory. And once you get and understand that the competitive spiritual life we should lead should be all for God, and he'll start doing great things in your life. He'll start opening doors for you, and most of all, softening our hearts. Amen? We can be very competitive. And my question is this, is there a wrong and right way to be competitive, to compete? There is. There has to be. Look at the definition of competition in the dictionary. I found this: behavior motivated by a desire to prove oneself superior in any given contest, endeavor, or field. It's right there. Some people thrive on that. See, I've been a drummer for many years, like I've shared with my brother here. We had a great talk. I love talking with drummers. And I glorify God now. I want it to be the best. I don't care anymore. I just praise him. People ask me, Frank, when you're playing in church, what do you? I'm not even looking at you guys. I'm worshiping my God. I could care less if I miss the cymbal sometimes, because it glorifies God. It doesn't matter. It's not about you or me. It's about what God's doing in that moment of worship. But if your hearts ain't right, the Spirit's not going to move. Amen? Look what else I found on the note of competition. I just found a brief page on the internet, printed it out and pasted it. It says this: but when it comes to serious competition, there are many problems such as overtraining, lust for worldly success, money, and medals. There's pride if you win and distraction from doing God's will. When you lose, there's danger of disappointment, envy, regret, and resentment. The disappointment and low self-esteem incurred by people losing is causing suicides, drug addictions, family breakdowns, crime, injuries, anger with God, and people not being thankful to God. These things are not from God. See, when I lived as a competitive man in the lifestyle I was living, which I'm not proud of, it brought me a lot of problems. It brought me a lot of just hurt and hurting my own family members. My mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters. They couldn't understand me because I was being competitive. I was thinking about self. I wanted to be better than everyone else. And that's so wrong before God's eyes. Jesus came to serve. And we need to serve. We need to have that same heart and passion he did. Jesus never thought of himself. He didn't even have a place, the Bible says. They didn't even want him in the city. He would go out on the outskirts and live in the mountains. Yeah, sometimes they'd bring him in and feed him, bring him food. But he never complained. He lived in the mountains. He didn't have a place to lay his head but on a rock, he says. And we can be so complacent, complaining. Oh, I want more. If you take that same passion and drive that the flesh is using you to drive you the wrong way, use that same compassion and drive and give that drive for God, and you'll see how he'll move. But we're so easy and flippantly going towards flesh and self and the worldly things. See, I always wanted to make it as a rock drummer, but God has me in the perfect place. I love Remnant because it's touching lives. I could care less what happens with me. I got to do what God wants me to do. And sometimes it's not fun, easy. It's not. But Jesus says, in this world you have troubles. But he also goes on to say, don't worry, I've overcome the world. What are you worried about? Let God just do it. Don't be so competitive. Don't be so into yourself. Competitiveness can hurt you. Competitiveness can harden hearts. And I'm going to tell you a true story right now that I was a part of, and I lived it. And I know about this story because it happened some years ago, not too far back. There was a pastor that had the church and several pastors there. And one of the pastors had like three assistant couples that helped him do his ministry. And here comes a new couple, a new guy in the Lord and wanting to grow and learn. So he hops on board and he's kind of new in the group. And then as soon as this new couple steps in, the three other couples just walked out on the pastor, walked out on him. And he's like, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to use this couple this year. I guess they'll do. And this couple would do anything for this pastor. And some years went by, and this couple was always there. This friend of this pastor, this man just gave his heart to this man to serve him. He gave it all he had alongside with his wife, and they did all they could through his ministry. And God was doing great things, don't get me wrong. But this pastor would fall away. As a matter of fact, this pastor fell away 6 times. And the leaders of this church kept giving him another chance. We'd pray for him. They'd sit him down for a while and they'd put him back. And the faithful friend was still doing the ministry where the pastor was removed from, put back, removed from. And this man was just there faithfully serving and serving along with his wife and family. So the 7th time, the pastor says, we're going to have to completely move you. We're going to put this young man that helped you all these years and never ran from you. And then years passed. And now this new pastor that took over the pastor's position that kept falling, he's sitting in his office one day, drinking his coffee, studying. And that pastor that fell away many times walked in the office, hey, how you doing? They hugged, prayed a little bit, laughed. And then right in the middle of their conversation, the pastor goes, you know what? I got something to tell you, Mr. New Pastor. I hated you. I had resentment towards you. I hated you because people came to you and they didn't come to me. But I know I was wrong. I was falling. Doing the wrong things, not following God, fell back to my addictions. But I hated it. And he cried and poured out his heart. And he kind of got on a knee and he was hugging me, saying, I'm sorry. And it was me. I was sitting there going, what is this, Lord? He says, Frank, you have a humble heart. You have a humble heart. And I'm going to do more things. And now he's brought me to Remnant. I love it here. And I want to cry because now we're moving to a bigger building. And I pray we can come together as a body and not try to outdo each other and work together and help another church flourish even more to see God's kingdom grow. God's kingdom will always grow when the spirit is right and there's no spirit of competitiveness towards ungodly things. We need to be godly. We need to be spiritual. We need to be humble. That was a tough one to live. And it's also like a dad teaching his son. They're playing hoop out there in the driveway, this teenage son. The son makes a good move on the dad. Does the dad get angry? Oh, I'm gonna. You start getting a little rougher with your son? That ain't right, guys. Come on. But the world can be that way too. Work. Well, I'm going to get him. I'm going to beat him. No. What's the right spirit to take? The dad should say, wow, son, that was a great move. How'd you do that? You encourage them. That's what God does with us when we're going through the earth. And you humble and you just do what God wants. He goes, yes, that's what I want you to do. Keep doing it. I know it hurts. It's going to hurt for a little bit. But you're going to be okay. Because your competitive spirit is godly and out of the world and not fleshly and not into self. God does that. And that father should exalt his son. Wow, son, great shot. Because I have an older brother and his son was a boxer. And he would have been a champ of the world, up there with De La Hoya, right in that era, because he was knocking out kids from other countries, but my brother was so hard on him. I mean, he yelled at him and tell him how poor he would do, and it's like your son makes a foul shot or a bad move. Are you going to shoo him up and tell him how poor he's playing, or are you going to encourage him? See, God wants to encourage us in our spiritual walk with God, and we need to go through those tough moments, competitive moments, to mold us and shape us, and most of all, soften us. To be humble. Not to think I'm better than him. I love talking with drummers. I never told this guy, hey, I'm the best drummer. The first thing I said, I know a little bit about drums. I'll help you out. He has no clue about my life. I'll talk with him later, though, and all the tours I've done. But I wanted to give glory to God. I said, sir, I'm here to help you. Did I not say that? I'm here to serve you, my friend. How can I help you? We need to humble ourselves. I don't care what your position is. You come down. And you exalt a brother and sister, your wife, your husband, your friend, your coworker, that person you quite rub not too good. You come down and God will lift you up. And that fleshly competitive spirit has to go. Amen? Good competitive spirit teaches and encourages, points out faults as well. I was watching a CrossFit competition in El Paso on the TV. Don't get me wrong. I went to visit my daughter, my new grandson's 4 months old now. I went there a couple of Sundays I was in here, and I got to sit with them, and they like to watch the CrossFit. It was like some contest, a bunch of training going on. Long story short, I loved what I saw. There was like six guys that would run, grab 200 pounds and 400 pounds and 500 pounds. Man, these guys are strong. And the first one got there, the second one got there. And I would tell them, who wins? My son-in-law goes, no, not really. Well, the guy got first place, but it's kind of just a competitive thing. And the last guy was still like at stage two. He couldn't get the 300 pounds. He still needed three more. I loved what I saw next. All these guys that had already got there and won, they were encouraging him. Come on, lift it, lift it. They were encouraging him. And he made it all the way to the finishing point. Us as Christians can beat people down and not encourage, but walk on them so we can be higher. See, I serve under two pastors. And people, some of you in the congregation probably see us the same, and we probably are three leaders, but to me, they're my leaders. I'll do anything for Jerry or Jeremiah, whatever they ask me, even when I don't want to. Want them to know that. But I'm not doing it because of me. I'm doing it because I love God and I do it for Jesus Christ. If he came to serve, I came to serve. That competitive spirit will harden your heart if you're not careful. Just like my pastor friend. Just like people. And sometimes, folks, their hearts are hard. There's nothing we can do but pray and love on them continually. Sometimes it looks impossible. Well, you sang the songs this morning. Nothing God can't do. Jerry said opening, let's see what God can do this morning. Oh, I know what God can do. He can do anything. But you got to allow him. You need to let him in. You need to go through those hard competitive moments. Because if you start pushing people down so you can be over them, you're going to be in a hard spot. You're going to struggle. Amen? Worldly competition is to make others look bad. And I found this video clip. Were you able to get that video clip on there? I loved it. I found this real short clip. And I call this the SPS syndrome. SPS syndrome. The soccer player spirit. They're the biggest fakes, man. Oh, you barely touch. Look at him. He's looking at the ref. Is he seeing? Oh, it hurts. You see that? I didn't notice that. Look. You see that? We can be big fakers and whiners. We try and impress the boss. It's right there. There's Christians that can act that way. Big fakers. I was talking to a brother earlier in the back. I just told him, brother, you just got to be real and be yourself. Be honest with yourself and when you talk with people. I told him, being up here preaching is just like talking to someone one-on-one. Just be real. Show them your heart. I've said this millions of times. How are you doing today, brother? Just fine. Okay. Face is all cracked. Oh, we're fine. Come on, honey. We're great. No, you're not. You can see it. Jesus says, your eyes are the lamp to your soul. Don't hide it. Just confess it to someone. I'm coming clean. I told you about my childhood right now. I never said that one before. The SWAT team, you guys are going to let me that one live. And guess who was the leader of the SWAT team? That's right. I was one of the faster runners. I liked running as a kid. I ran a lot as a young man. Got into the wrong things. So worldly competition can make us look like a soccer player. Quit faking it, man. Quit being a big baby. Quit whining. Go through it. Grow through it. Understand what God wants to do and just live through it. Sometimes it looks gloomy. Amen? But he's there. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This man's touring. That God's going to do great things through him. He's going through churches. I've done that before. And lives are touched. I was standing back there. Everyone was worshiping. And the instruments, the singing is used by God. Even if they hit a bad note, God is still blessing someone. I learned that as a worship leader myself. I went to a few seminars where these awesome leaders would speak about worship. They would hit bad notes, but the crowd was just being touched by God. Amen? First point is this. Competitiveness is a virtue of the world, but not with Jesus. See, because people can be walking around trying to step others down. People are walking around hurt. Look what it says in Luke 22:26. We read it right now in our text. Jesus said, with you it'll be different. With you it'll be different. He wants us to be different. Not competitive the way the world's teaching us or trying to teach us. It wants to mold us to do what they do. You see, when Jesus and the disciples, after Jesus passed away, all the disciples started getting scattered. They thought, that's it. The ministry's done. And God scattered them. They started going to different countries. God did that so the word can get to where we're at. We're the uttermost parts of the world, folks. It started at that side of the globe. And here they thought they were afraid and running, but they kept preaching Christ, and the gospel kept getting preached. This is the only book 2,000 and somewhat years later still being spoken about. How often do you hear every Sunday someone getting together and breaking out a book of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or whoever, Thomas Edison? This is still being preached, sometimes 3 times a week, because this word's alive and active, and it penetrates our souls, and it transforms lives like it has done mine. That dark life I led for 22 years, the Lord brought me to his wonderful light. He taught me not to be competitive. He taught me to love people and greet strangers I've never met. And now when I meet strangers, like I've known them. I'll never forget those of men, especially when I see their faces. I can put a face to the prayer. I don't know about somebody, sometimes I'm praying, I forget names, but the faces. And I said, that one, Lord, I'm praying for that one. Faces pop up. That's what happens to me. You guys are going to be in prayer. And mine's anyway. God bless you guys. It will be different with you. At sport events, people fight and hurt each other over their losing team. And I wrote these little notes because they happened to me. Again, rough life, violent man. And I hung out with 4 of these guys the rest of my life. And we were the worst of the worst here in the valley, next to some of them that are still out there. Long story short, they invited me to a Rams-Saints game at the Coliseum. This is back in the late 70s. Yeah, I'm a little old. Thank you. And we said to ourselves, get this. Guys, when we go up there, we're not going to pick fights. We'll maybe have 2 beers because, of course, I don't know Christ. And we did everything we said. We behaved through the whole game, and we did good. But it was the crowd. There was a whole row of, we had our Rams shirt, and a whole row of probably like 15 guys with Saints shirts. Oh, gosh, that's all it took. So the game finishes. We left quietly, went down the stairs, and these guys are just telling us stuff because the Rams lost and picking at us and picking at us. And we tried so hard to be good, and we get to our car, and finally we get to the trunk of the car, and one of the guys from the Saints team, they were drunk, and they were just picking on us, and he punched my friend, and that's all it took. It was a whole riot in the parking lot. But it reminds me of the competitiveness. And sometimes you want to be good, and they're going to push your buttons. But just keep walking. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. You'll get stuck. You'll get stuck. Don't look back. I love my wife dearly. She's passed almost 3 years now. I think about her. I talk about her. I profess about her. But I need to move on. She's almost like telling me, come on, honey, move on. Keep preaching Jesus, though, but move on. See, she was the love of my life. But now it's time to move on. New ventures in life, guys. I've said this before many times, so some of you have probably never heard this. Every time you wake up, where you see our living room or where you live, you can walk there in the dark. With God, he always moves your furniture. Don't always expect, hey, where did that come from? I didn't put that couch there. Where'd that lamp come from? See, God will move things around in us to keep us attentive, to know that he's there. But what about the hardships, Frank? They're for you, refining you. They're to show how much you do adore him and love him, and you're going to trust him. He wants to see your heart, your faith. You're here singing, but when you leave the doors, is it applying? I've been thrown out of my house. I've said this one before. And I started praising him, and I had a house in 10 minutes here in El Centro. God is an awesome God, but he doesn't want us to have an earthly competitive spirit. Competitiveness can be of God. And here's another one that I see my family go through. Competing for who's the best son or daughter. Well, I did this for mom and dad. Oh, no, I bought them the food. Or I helped fix this part of the house. That happens in families. We compete for being the better son or daughter. And that divides. That's a whole other sermon I've preached about through Jacob and Esau. That was the parents' fault. because one parent cared more for the one son and the mom cared more for the other son, and you're going to have division in your family. It splits up homes when you have favorites. And that's what happened in my home. Out of 9 of us, our parents pointed a little bit more to someone in our family, and it divided. It's biblical. Look at Cain and Abel. Oh, man, he likes his worship more than mine. Okay, I'm going to take him to the field. I'll take care of him. And God, the whole time, Cain, don't do this, don't do this. Even your face, look at your face, don't do this. God's still there at the last minute. Did you know when you're ready to really blow it in your fleshly competitiveness, God is still there telling you, don't do this. I love you, my son, don't do this. And we'll still take that step and do the wrong thing. And he'll still forgive you. Tell me of another God that will forgive like that. We just got to get it right. And live for God. And not be competitive as the world is. The wrong competitive spirit can cause damage to you and those around you and control you. And what does it look like? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3:3. What can this fleshly competitive spirit look like? This is what it looks like. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're still controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people in the world? You see? Before Christ, people would tell me, Frank, oh, you're better than that drummer. Oh, you blew him away. No, I didn't. I just had a good time. They're good too. I've met drummers that haven't been playing longer than me. They blow me out of the water like, wow, dude. You sounded great, by the way. I was back there going, yeah, thank you, God, you brought this guy. I learned a new trick he did. He has no clue. And I'm going to use it, and you guys ain't going to know. Only God. Thanks, bro. God is good, folks. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. This ain't about music. You can learn tricks from other musicians, because God uses it. Don't be competitive. I wasn't back there saying, nah, he's okay. Oh, he messed up right there. I told him, I'll be listening, but I hope he didn't take it wrong. I meant, I'll be listening for God to use you to touch me. Maybe he hasn't been playing as long as me, but I can actually worship because you're here, bro. I can lift up my hands because it's hard to play. And if I had 4 hands, I could do it, but I don't. Sometimes Victor's like looking, Frank, oh, yeah, the next song. I want to worship too. And I'm praying for drummers. Let him come in. We'll take turns. I'm not going to say, no, I'm the lead drummer here, and you're going to play songs the way I say. That's not of God. Shame on me. Let them be blessed. You all in this room have a talent or a gift God wants to use. It's in the Bible. He gave a lot of people, everyone, gifts or something to use. Some of you work in an office, you're being used there. Some of you probably just stand at a door, fix things. Help people, that's for God. That's of God. And if you live that life that you're serving God when you're doing it, he'll bless you and strengthen your faith when you know why you're doing it. And there's going to be bumps in the road, landmines we're going to walk on. Yes, we're going to hit landmines. We're going to have those little fights and spats sometimes. Of course, it's part of it. Because Jesus said, in this world you have troubles. But we already know that, folks. You know that now. You can't deny it from today on. Frank, I was going through this. Are you surprised? Yes, I'm not. Paul says, don't think it's strange you're going through all these things. I went through them too. But God is there. I can't wait till Jesus comes back. Because right now we're just being tested. It's this boot camp, I've told you. Make the best of today. Jesus says, today, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow has his own worries. Hello? Smile through it. You'll see the difference. I've told you this one a gazillion times. Frank, the trucks, all these people, the phone, and you're smiling? Praise Jesus. It's because of Jesus. That's all I say. Because I have a stressful position. It can be very stressful sometimes. And I smile because I know who's there with me. Jesus Christ and his spirit is there. He's telling me, Frank, you stay humble. Don't be competitive. I got your back. You can handle this. Do one thing at a time. And that's what I do. Before I'd be all stressed out, oh, the phone, wait, I'll load you right now. And I was all over the place. I was trying to do it all, 10 things at one time. God grabbed a hold of me, said, Frank, slow down. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Don't get competitive. Let the Lord lead you. Don't be controlled by your old ways. And get this. God does not go by our worldly strengths or abilities. He looks at our hearts. What's in here? I always tell people this that I talk with. You want to know someone? Sit with them 5 minutes, maybe 10. Just let them talk. Jesus says, whatever's in their heart comes out of their mouth. We talked about drones. But we know who we glorify. We know why we're here. I know why they're here. And I know they know why they're here. If your heart's right. See, you can't have a good, godly, competitive spirit if your attitude is right and you put God first. And God will always do great things. I think of Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob, Saul and King David. One person was being attacked by the other person continually. But God was with them. We're going to have a Saul in our lives. And we'll also have a Jonathan. Jonathan loved King David. And that was Saul's son. I'm sure dad told him, how can you help him? I'm your father. I'm sure Jonathan would say, but he loves God, dad. I have to do this. It's not scripture, but that's what I think he must have told his dad. Lord, how dare me if I don't help this man of God? He's been anointed too. He's been called. You've all been called. You all have a purpose. Look at James 3, 14 through 16. James 3, 14 through 16 says this. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up with the truth, with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil kind. All kinds of evil there. Now that I can connect with Christian drummers, I humble myself, we talk, and God exalts that. See, he'll use that. He'll multiply your life spiritually. And that competitive spirit we used to have starts dwindling and dying out. Because in the past, I wanted to be the best. Now I want to be the best for Jesus Christ and lead people to his kingdom. That's my whole goal as a minister, is to be that light, try not to outdo no one, and show them the love of Christ. That's why he died so ugly on the cross, for our sins, for our sinful ways. Amen? Last point. Godly competitiveness for his glory, not our own, is commendable. Matthew 5:16, Jesus is speaking again. It is commendable. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There it is. Someone comes against us, we're so quick to, oh, I'm going to get him back. Can't believe he told me that. I'll get him later. That's not the right spirit. Your heart's not right. Just say, okay, God, kind of like King Esther, I always say that to this you have called me, Lord. If I die, I die. To this you have called me. I say that a lot at work because it can be very stressful and I'm right there going crazy with all these orders. And I say, to this you have called me, Lord. I'm right here, use me. And once that little storm passes, that tempest of rush and work, I get like another 2 hours of just kickback. And guess what I do? I'm studying. I'm reading, looking for stuff to learn from God and how people act and how we can do things and don't do things. Use it wisely. Don't get me wrong. I do my job as best as I can, and my bosses know that. And they know sometimes I'm studying and reading, and they don't tell me anything. Why? Because they know my position, but they've seen that I honor the company too, and I do that first because I work unto the Lord, not unto man. See, when you know who you're working for, why you're doing what you do as a Christian, then God gets the glory, then he'll move in your life. He'll start opening those doors and making it a little easier. It won't go away. It won't go away, but it'll be a little easier to accept, take, understand. Amen? Paul says, look what Paul says about competitiveness. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through 27. So I run with a purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That's what I've said, that if I'm up here telling you guys to love people, I'm at work possibly cussing someone out, which I encourage you, Christian remnant, I speak to our church. You shouldn't be using cuss words. It's in here. Talk to me later. I'll show you the verse. But you need to honor God everywhere you are. And Paul says, look, it's for a purpose. I do this for a purpose. And what's the purpose? Because of Jesus Christ. Why do I go through that stressful moments at work? Because God's put me there and I got to trust him through it. He also says in every step, not just sometimes, every step of life, you need to know your purpose and live for Jesus and always glorify him. In every purpose, it says. And it does, I like where it says, and I'm not shadow boxing. Have you seen shadow boxers? We can all beat up our shade. We'll always beat it. But what's it doing? Nothing. You discipline. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete. I've told you this before. As a Christian, it's like working out. It's not easy. You're going to sweat. It's going to hurt. You're going to get cramps. But keep going. I've been dedicated to working out for just doing regular exercise almost every evening as much as I can. 10, 20 minutes. I don't want to ever do something more than I do for God either. Don't get me wrong there. I better be spending a little bit more time praying. I better spend a little bit more time studying. And I better spend a little bit more time ministering to people. We do need a little break sometimes to rest. God will give you the break time when he knows it's time. See, because sometimes we can even get lazy as Christians. Oh, God said I had to sleep for 5 hours. No, you don't. Read your Bible. I like what Jeremiah said one time. You have trouble sleeping? Read your Bible. You'll sleep good, some of you. But his word is so good. It tastes so good to the soul. I love reading his word. I'm already up close to a month now reading Psalm 71 every morning. Psalm 71, who God is and how he protects us and how he loves us and how he's going to use us. How he's our strength, our shield, our everything. Don't be competitive. Be like Paul, discipline, have a purpose. Take every step for Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Philippians 1:27. Oh, excuse me. How does God attain all this competitiveness? How does godly competitiveness, how do we attain it? 2 Timothy 2:5. How do we get there to have good godly competitiveness and not worldly? And athletes, it says in 2 Timothy 2:5, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And I put that verse there because a lot of times as Christians, we want to do our own thing and follow our own ways. And it's not going to happen. When I weightlift, I was told to grab the bar a certain way. If I'm doing it wrong, I'm going to hurt myself. I was told to only run so long at my age, so I only run that long. Because if I do it another way, I'm going to hurt myself. Your spiritual life, your Christian walk with Jesus Christ, and a follower of God applies the same. You need to follow what it says here and live it. And not just from your teeth, from your heart. Be real. Love people. Don't step on them and be competitive. I love you guys. You love me. Our competition is primarily confined to the spiritual realm. But look at Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27 says this. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. There it is. Whatever happens, you better have a good attitude. Someone out there is better than you. You glorify God. It's okay. God's always got a replacement anyways. And if your attitude's wrong, he'll move you and find someone else. He's a righteous God. He doesn't do that because he's mean. He's like, okay, this heart ain't quite right. He doesn't want to follow my rules and live for me. Well, I have someone else lined up. Look at Saul and David again. King Saul was doing great, but the power went to his head and he was focused on what the people would say and he forgot about Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi, Yahweh, the God of creation. And he forgot he was leading him. And he was so concerned about they're singing more. David killed 10, I only killed 1,000. Wow. He took his focus and put it on people instead of on God. We're the same. Your purpose should be for Jesus Christ, period. live for him, and he'll make your path for you. He said, take my yoke. It's lighter and easier. Again, it's not going away, but it's a little lighter and easier. People offend me and try to hurt me. They slide off. They're like ping pong balls. I don't always smile, but I'm saying, okay, Lord, this one hurts, but I'm gonna stand here. I'm going to stand still and know that you are God. Amen? And the spiritual realm, there's only three things we contend with. The devil, the world, and self. That's all we're competing against. Because if you get competitive with people and things in the world, you're going to be stuck. But when we get down to the real deal of what it is, we're fighting the devil, the world, and self. Those are the three components which we will fight till we die. And look at what it says in 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For every child of God defeats the evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's only through Jesus Christ, folks. You will prevail. You will stand strong. And you will be able to go through that test of competitiveness in those moments you're being tested. And see where you are competitively in your heart. Is it spiritual or flesh? Is it Jesus or self? Only you know. Only you know. Amen? Can we remember and apply that? The worship team will come up, please. I'll close there. A good competitiveness can only come through the faith in Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:13, I didn't put it in there, but it hit me this week as well. Our whole purpose, people ask, well, what's the purpose of life? Why are we here? Why am I here? Why do we do this? Why do we do what we do? Read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Very short verse. It says just to fear God and obey him. That's the whole purpose of your life. Fear God and obey him. Everything else will fall into place the way God wants it. Did I want my wife to die of cancer? No. It was his will. Do we want to go through the things we're going through? No. But it's his perfect will. Until you learn to apply that and live it, it'll start getting a little easier. Again, it won't go away. Quit telling people, stay out of my way. That's why I called it that. I was that man. But I want people in my life. I want to talk to people about God. I want to live and show the love of Christ. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You